The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
Now for the second half of our program this afternoon. You should probably know why I'm here. I was asked a month or so ago if I could do the charge to the graduates because I was told Dr. Truman wouldn't be here. So if you remember nothing else, remember this. We could have had Truman. I was trying to think what I might say to the graduates this afternoon, and it struck me that 30 years ago, I was sitting where you are. And so I thought it would be fun for me if I could speak to you about the same charge that I had when I was graduating. And then it struck me that I had no idea what the charge was when I graduated. But I do remember a couple of things that were told to me as I was graduating, and it went something like this. You think seminary was hard, and you can fill in the blank. It was not particularly encouraging. It was that kind of attitude, the sort of spirit where people were saying to me, you haven't seen anything yet. So I thought, I don't want to talk about that. That's not encouraging. So then I thought, what would I want to hear if I were graduating again? And so that's what I decided to talk to you about just briefly. You are in a commencement. You're beginning. You're starting something new. For many of you, you are commencing in ministry. And I think if there's one text for me that would be the most encouraging in a situation like that, it would be 1 Corinthians 15:58. So I want to look at that for just a minute before you celebrate. Paul says this, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Now, you know that this chapter, I'm sure you will know, is the most extensive treatment that we have in Scripture of the resurrection. Not simply the resurrection of Christ, which is preeminent, but we're concerned as well in this chapter, the Lord is concerned to tell us something about our own resurrection. The resurrection that we have in Christ because we are united to Him. And in concluding that entire section, Paul says this, "Be steadfast." Now the question might come, be steadfast in what? And some of you will know how this goes sometimes in ministry. You may decide as a pastor to be steadfast in the color of carpet that's going to be laid in your church. Not a particularly good thing most often. So you don't want to be steadfast in the wrong things. On the other hand, you might be tempted not to be steadfast in anything in order to get along with as many people as possible. Temptations in ministry can abound in that way, can't they? But the focus of being steadfast is given in the first verses of 1 Corinthians 15. "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Paul begins in this chapter with the gospel, which Paul preached, which they had received, and he says, in which they stand if they hold fast to the word preached. And lest there be any confusion about that, Paul begins this chapter in this way: "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." That is to say, Paul's concern, more precisely, the Lord's concern here, is that which is in protois, of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised, and all of this in accordance with the Scriptures. And by that, Paul means that it is in accordance with what God had been revealing and has revealed all through redemptive history. The resurrection of Christ, as this chapter argues, is a reality without which there can be no hope, and without which there is no real faith, no faith with content. So Paul's point here is that the resurrection of Christ is the good news, but it's not the kind of good news that you might receive from a family member, but it's the good news in which you must stand. The good news that is meant to have a decisive and unwavering effect on your ministries. So the good news is the good news in which you are steadfast. You must not, you cannot waver from that good news. Some of you will know the story of Ebenezer Gay. His ministry began in New England before the United States was even a country, the early 18th century. Ebenezer Gay came into his ministry as an excited young man, committed to the Puritans, wanting to preach the Word of God. He stayed in that church, that same pulpit, for 69 years. The same pulpit for 69 years. At the end of which it was said that Ebenezer Gay is our first Unitarian minister. What happened? What happened is what happens too often. Ebenezer Gay began to read his Bible. Certain things weren't comfortable to him, so he began to preach according to those things only that Ebenezer Gay's mind could understand. And by the end of his ministry, there was no such thing for Ebenezer Gay as the Trinity. No one wakes up and decides, "I'm a little bored with orthodoxy, I think I'll be liberal." But it happens over time when the wrong questions begin to be asked. Has God really said? Really? Paul says, be steadfast, resolve to stand in the truth of the Word of God and His gospel. He says, be steadfast, be immovable. Being steadfast might focus on your own subjective resolve. Being immovable might focus on those things that come to you externally and want to move you to and fro. But we're not to be movable in that way. We're not to bend to the current climate of whatever science or the latest view wants to say about who we are. When we are steadfast, we are meant to be immovable, standing firmly in the gospel. If you are firmly and immovably planted in the rich soil of your union with Christ and His living Word, then you cannot but thrive. No matter what manner of weeds seek to surround you and choke out your life, your roots will always extend to the living water of the Spirit of God, and you will show forth and demonstrate the resurrection life that flows from those roots. The only way to be immovable is to ensure that your roots are nourished by Christ and the eternal reality of His gospel. So don't plant your roots in those nice diplomas you just received, as vitally important as they are for your education, don't plant your roots in your church's programs or your ministry's objectives and goals or anything else that is simply a means to an end. Plant yourselves in the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you resolve to be steadfast, if you are immovable in the good news of the gospel, Paul says, you will abound in the work of the Lord. So when someone says to you, how's your ministry going? You're not meant to say, oh, it's going. Or, we're getting by. Or, it's just a day-to-day thing. This is the gospel of your resurrection life in Christ in which you stand. And your inner man is being renewed every single day while the outer man is decaying. You abound because you are alive in Christ. Wren Brookhuysen mentioned this a few minutes ago. I have these statistics. Some of you will be surprised. I actually went on the internet. I still think it's a bit faddish, but it may last a while longer. And I found a site. This may not surprise some of you. It surprised me. PastorBurnout.com. There's a site for PastorBurnout.com. I don't know where these statistics, all of them came from. Some of them came from a book apparently entitled Pastors at Greater Risk. But here's some of the statistics they give you. 33% of pastors felt burned out within their first 5 years of ministry. 40% of pastors are suffering from unrealistic expectations. 45% say they've experienced burnout to the extent that they needed to take a leave of absence from ministry. 57% would leave the pastor if they had somewhere else to go. 1,500 pastors leave their ministries each month due to burnout or conflict. Now, I don't know what all the causes of those statistics are, but I do know this. There can be no abounding in ministry until and unless you are firmly planted in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are, then the result is this, as Paul gives it to us. The great promise from God Himself is that your labor in the Lord is never empty, is never in vain. I've had occasion over the past couple of years to attend funerals of various family members and friends. And in a couple of those occasions, I've been a part of writing some of the obituaries. And it struck me as I was doing this that there is no obituary really that can ever capture the life of a Christian. No matter how many honors or societies or activities or children or grandchildren, there's no way accurately to list just exactly what their labor in the Lord was during their life. And even if it could be listed, much of it would likely be things that would not fit in a typical obituary. Things like visited the sick on a regular basis, repented of sin, and resolved more firmly to trust Christ. You wouldn't see that typically in an obituary. But there's no need to, is there? Because obituaries, to the extent that they say anything true, are really just shadows and types of the true obituary that God Himself writes. And as a matter of fact, that obituary is not an obituary at all. If you'll let me coin a term, it is a spirituary. It is the Lord's documentation of life in Christ, which has its roots in the victory that Christ Himself gained over death, the first fruits of your resurrection. And that's Paul's point, isn't it? If there is an obituary, there is also a spirituary. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual one. And the rub of the Christian life, the rub of your ministry, that is most important to understand is that it is those things that are not seen that are permanent. Those things that are done in the Lord, those are the things that have real content. Those are the things that will never perish. This is your victory in Christ this afternoon. It is permanent. It is central. It is real. But it is invisible and awaiting its final consummation. So as you commence your ministries today, resolve to be steadfast and immovable. Abound in the work of the Lord, and you have a guarantee from the mouth of God that your labor in the Lord is never in vain. Let's pray together. Our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, would you bless these graduates this afternoon as they commence in various ministries, other avenues of study. Would you help them even as you would help us to be steadfast, to be immovable, to abound in your work with the promise that that labor which is performed in the Lord will never be in vain. We thank you and praise you for the work of our Savior, died and risen. Amen.